much to do, and they will find time to do what is needed to be done. When Jesus went looking, he found fishermen, and what were they doing? They were working. They were busy. They were about their business. And Jesus said, come on, follow me. Put down that job and come on, I've got you an even better job, but a more bigger job. And God is looking for people who have a powerful commitment to see God moving in power and being a life changer. God is calling life changers today. He's looking for life changers. That's what he's looking for. Are you ready to be a life changer for Christ? We need to be preparing ourselves. Don't tell me you don't have time. Make it. Make it. There isn't such a word as can't. That means I don't want to. I can be blunt, me, you know. I can, you know. I've got to the point where I hear people say yes to me, and I know straight away that actually means no. And they think I don't know. Look at the colour of my hair. I'm too old to be fooled anymore. I've been around the streets a few times. I'll tell you what. And when you say yes to God and you mean no, guess what? He knows exactly what we are saying. And Jesus said one thing. When his parents said, what do you think you've been doing? He says, I must be. At 12 years old, I must be about the Father's business. At 12, he was hungering and thirsting to be about the Father's business. You're not too young. You're not too old. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? And you know enough English. Yeah. Hallelujah. And God is giving you more health and strength. Yeah. Receive it right now. Just reach up and take it. Just reach up now and take it. Take that strength. The strength. Come on, reach your hands up and take that strength now. Come on, just pull it down. Pull it down. If you believe it, pull it down. And you'll feel it coming in right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, reach up and pull in the strength of God. Pull in the strength of God. Hallelujah. You know, some days you say, Lord, I feel so weak. Well, I am your strength, he says. Pull in that strength. I am, he said. When Moses said, who shall I said sent me? He says, tell them I am has sent you. I am what? I am whatever you are in need of. That's who I am. Everything is available through Christ and God, our Heavenly Father. Nothing will He withhold that is good to us. He will give us all that is good for us. But are we hungering? Are we thirsting? Yeah. Are we so passionate? Yeah. The only time I see young people with any sort of passion about them is when they're half drunk. Yeah. People need to hear about what you've got. They need to hear about your Saviour. They need to know there is something that you have that is different and that you have been empowered. That's why we go on mission trips and we take people with us, because we want to let them loose and get empowered. reaching out to see God moving in power. Signs, wonders and miracles is what the church is to be today. Do you know, I'd love this place to be filled with people who were sick. Bring them out. Let's lay hands on them and see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit beginning to minister wholeness and healing and power. I tell you what, that would shake this area. That would shake this area. You wouldn't need a band up front to lead praise and worship. You wouldn't need flashing lights and smoke machines. All you need is the presence of the power of a holy God. That's what we need. And that's only going to happen when we begin to reach out, when we begin to call on Him. You call on my name, He says, and I will answer. I want to encourage you. Call on the name of Jesus. Call on this holy God. Call on your heavenly Father. He's waiting to hear your voice. And I don't mean call on Him just because you want something. Call on Him because you want to do something with Him. God gave Adam the authority on the earth to work hand in hand with God. Jesus called His disciples to work hand in hand with Him. He sent them out healing the sick, casting out demons, and preaching the good news that the Christ, the Messiah, has come. This is what the church should be doing. Not having praise parties. Changing lives. Changing lives. God has come to set the captives free. But He's looking for the messengers. He's looking for the saints to serve. To serve. To serve the living God. And flow in power. In our lives, in Jesus' name. You declare the promises of God. You declare what God's word says over circumstances and situations. And others do not rule us. The government does not rule us. Let the word of God become powerful. Don't listen to the gossip of others. Yeah, exactly, that's where I'm going. Nehemiah did not listen to Sanballat and Tobias. You know? They were like, come on, come down, let's have a chat. We'll have a chat with you. You know, we're buddies, aren't we? You know, we've been in the same troubles and same issues. Let's just have a chat together about what you're doing. We've just got a few knives waiting. He said, I don't have time. In a nutshell, he basically said, I must be about my Heavenly Father's business. Come on, let's be about Father's business. Some of you might say, well, I get overtime, so I can't come to the prayer meeting. I'm going to tell you this. If you will give your time to God, you don't need overtime. I know, even from when I was an apprentice, I turned overtime down. Because on a Sunday, I was in Sunday church at 10:30. Straight away in the afternoon, I was teaching Sunday school. And then I had Sunday church evening service, and then we had youth after service. And my boss wanted me to work from 7 till 5 o'clock on a Sunday. And I said no. I was the only person in the shop to say no. If it had said work all day Saturday, I'd have worked all day Saturday. But do not ask me to work on the Lord's day. Well, you lose out on money. Do you know something? I never lost out. I have never, ever lost out serving God. I gave up 75% of our earnings between us. Because God called me and I trusted Him. And I don't look bad on it, do I? And that's now since 1983. 36 years. Ah, right. The year Louise was born. God never missed a mortgage payment. God never saw us go without. God even took us on a cruise that Grace prayed for. Yeah, she wanted to go on a cruise. I'm like, if she'd have said to me, let's go on a cruise, and I'm like, on a cruise. So she didn't come to me. She went to a higher authority. Went to God. Oh, and by the way, the cruise was paid for. We didn't have to pay. See, you see, serve the Lord with all of your heart, and I'll tell you what, you get given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This guy here, time to finish work. Oh, he was a miserable so-and-so in the preparation of finishing work, weren't he? Oh, doom and gloom and despair, and, you know, bless him. And I said that with all the love and grace, because I love that guy. But the Lord was about to take him on another journey. Would you like to be back at work? No, no, there you go. Was God right? Yeah, but you see, God changed everything, you see. God made changes. Has he ever let you down on this journey? No. Financially, has he let you down? No. Okay, there you go. There you go. God is well able. But I tell you what, they put God first. God's number one. Nothing else takes priority. Does it? No. You young ones might say, oh, it's alright for you at your age. Yeah, but I started at 16. At 18, I was called into ministry. And I started to get ready. And at 25, when we were married, we were leading a youth work. And we were in church near every... I think we had one day off church. One day off church, and I was running a job where I was on 24-hour call. But do you know who came first? Jesus. Jesus. And I was happy to run 24 hours, yeah, but I was happy to work all those hours for the Lord. And then I quit my job and gave it all up and said, I'm finished in industry. God said, it's time to leave. Come on. We're going 100% all out. And we've seen God touch and change lives. We were looking at Nehemiah 8 this last Wednesday. Nehemiah chapter 8. And this is what thrilled me. I would pray that the church would the church of Jesus Christ would catch hold of this today. And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Seven is a number of perfection. First day, new beginnings. Verse 3, he read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, from 6 o'clock in the morning until 12 o'clock. For 6 hours they read the word of the Lord, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the law. But one amazing thing is, as you read through Nehemiah, it says that when Nehemiah opened up the word of God, everybody stood up with great respect for the word of God. Because this word creates miracles. This word changes lives. This word created the universe and everything that is in it. This word is so powerful. If God was to show us himself clearly through this word, that purity would destroy us. Why do you think he said to Moses, when Moses said, I want to see your face? No. He'd have been a dead man. He would have been a dead man. And God said, you can see my back as I pass by. And God covered over that crack in the rock with his hand and passed by. And all he saw was the back of God. I tell you what, I'd love to see the back of God, of a living God. Reading the word. And all this is beginning to happen. And it's the time of the year, it's September. It is the Feast of Trumpets. This day begins Israel's civil new year, around the end of September. It is also believed that when the Lord Jesus was born, it was around the 29th of September. Not 25th of December. We just stole a pagan day. So we did. The real day was, the truth of it was September. Possibly 2 BC. Which would mean that the Lord Jesus Christ was born at the time of the sound of trumpets. And the sound of trumpets which will be blown are not shofars. Shofars come from dead animals. God does not touch that dead animal. God is, because everything God touches comes back to life. Would you agree? If God touches something, he brings life. Because God is a life-giving God. We're not blowing that which is of a dead animal. We're living, vibrant beings full of the Spirit of God. And we need the breath of the Spirit to blow through us. And if you're going to bring anything to blow, bring a silver trumpet. Because this is what was blown at the time of the Feast of Trumpets. If you turn to Numbers chapter 10 in your Bible. Numbers chapter 10. Verse starting at verse 1. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 1, the Lord spoke further to Moses, saying, "Make yourself two trumpets of silver, of hammered work. You shall make them, and you shall use them for the summering of the congregation and for the having the camp set out." So, silver trumpets. Silver is used as a term of redemption. Every time silver is referred to in the Word of God, it is a purity and redemptiveness. When Judas sold his friend Jesus, what did he sell him for? 30 pieces of silver. He didn't sell him for gold. He didn't sell him for copper. All of it was available. He could have had the same value, could he not? Yeah? You see, God's very, very specific. All this is fulfilling prophecy. And so, the purity of silver. Silver has to be refined in those days 7 times. 7. The number of perfection. And so in the refining of the silver, it brings it to this absolute place of purity. And so when Jesus is sold for 30 pieces of silver, he's being sold for the purest thing that is available. Silver. The redemptiveness. That which is available in God. And you know, when we come to Christ, the purest thing that there is in all of humanity, he paid for my sin, for your sin, that we might be set free. We were purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He purchased us because somebody sold him for 30 pieces of silver. In the Old Testament, these two trumpets were made out of a piece of silver. They were beaten out. That must have been an horrendous, talented task, to take a piece of silver and begin to beat it into the shape and the form of a trumpet. Jesus was beaten to a point of being unrecognizable. These two trumpets no longer were recognizable as two blocks of silver. They had received a beating. They'd been heated and beaten out of shape into a new shape. Jesus was beaten. His face was marred and bruised beyond all recognition. And in these trumpets, because they were of a pure silver, a solid piece, remember, no bones in the body of Jesus were allowed to be broken. He was one piece. One piece. He was fully whole, fully man, and fully God. Beaten beyond all recognition. But these silver trumpets were there to sound the alarm. And they are there to sound the alarm, and in the coming days of the coming Christ, the silver trumpet will have to sound. Not a shofar. A shofar will not bring the Lord. Even today in Jerusalem, in the museum for the tabernacle, for the new temple, there are 2 silver trumpets already waiting for the time when they will commence sacrifices and feast days again. That's how much the Jews believe for the Messiah. How much more should we believe that, you know, you and I were purchased. Christ was sold. And in that selling of Christ, you and I were purchased. Let us be the silver trumpets that declare the glory and the power of God. Let us begin to let the message go out. Today, even in Orthodox churches today, they stand in church whilst the Word of God is being read. They give respect to the Word of God. Sadly, evangelicals, half the time, they hardly ever read the Word of God. That's going on a spiritual diet. So many Christians today do not read the Bible. Do you know what that means? They are on a crash diet of slimming spiritually. Do you know what that leaves you? Weak. If you see the photographs of World War II and you see the camp in Belsen and places like that, and you see the state of those bodies, today, that is what the church looks like to God. On the outside, it looks fat and flourishing. That's just the outside. But inside, what truly matters is not there to hold it up. And when we see the church arising and the power of God moving, then we can begin to feast and rejoice. Today is not a time of rejoicing. Today is a time of prayer and fasting. Today is a time when we should be pushing through and seeking the face of God. And a good church will have a good prayer meeting. Don't tell me you want God. Don't tell me you want more of God if you're not prepared to sacrifice. I mean that, truly. Don't get offended with me, because this is the Word of God. Jesus said to his own disciples, couldn't you stay awake for an hour? Could you not pray for 1 hour with me? Nothing's changed. But we need to change. The disciples were gathered together on the day of Pentecost, seeking and waiting and praying and seeking the face of God. And the presence and the power of God came down. Is that true? It's written in the book. That's what it says. We're getting closer this year to the celebration of the day of Pentecost. Oh God, I would love to see that the presence and the power of God came down on the people. And actually, it actually went out through the fabric of the building onto the streets, that it actually went out and lit the building up. Years ago in Wales, there was a church. The presence of God came in. And on the wall of the church was a face of a slain lamb. They didn't have overhead projectors. It weren't a man thing. And there was a light on top of the church. And people came to see what it was. And they came into the church and began to get saved. And only preaching. The presence of a holy God. But it happened because the people there began to pray and began to seek God. You can go to university with just one person and you can turn the university around for Christ. Let's not miss what God wants to do. Let's press in. God's waiting on us. We are not waiting on God. God is waiting for you to show that you really believe and that you will move in His word, that you will press in and seek His face for His praise and for His glory. I pray that we shall begin to see and to hear the presence of God rustling in the mulberry trees, a visitation of the Spirit, mighty signs and wonders before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there will be a mighty harvest. And let's be like Nehemiah. Focus on the job in hand. Stand on the promises of God. Believe God. God has set us a task. Let us do this with all of our hearts, with all of our might, with all of our strength. It's not about what nation are we from. It's whose God do we serve. And let's do it to the glory of God. Amen.